Good evening, everybody. Tonight's going to be a little story. It's a little story, but kind of going to be a little transparent with our life, what our families endured the last year and a half, and hopefully I can encourage someone who may face similar issues or similar trials, or maybe someone you know, that something I said tonight can help and encourage at least one person tonight. What I'm going to talk about is nothing about boasting. It's nothing about, I don't want anybody's sympathy. I just want to be transparent with y'all, and so that I can bring the message of what I hope will be of encouragement to everybody here. As most of y'all know, everybody knows that what I went through with UPS and the hardship that our families endured over the last year and a half. Had a very good job, good insurance, not much worry, didn't have to worry about much. I knew next week I was going to get a check. So there was not a lot of worrying done on my part. We always consider ourselves faithful family. Always believed in God, always trusted in God, and I always felt that we trusted in God. But after going through what we went through this last year and a half, we realized back then that our trust wasn't so much in God. I had a job that, like I said, made very good money and was struggling the last couple of years before that happened because it was eating up a lot of my time with my family. But we had this mindset that we had to make a certain amount of money. And so we couldn't really afford for me to take any time off because we just could not afford to be without a day of pay. And so we went through and I've done that job for 17 years. And God's blessed me with that job and truly believe that. I believe he blessed me with the health to be able to do that job. And reached a point in my career that I no longer was physically able to do that job due to injuries that I had done and happened to me over the last 7 years, and still continue to get through it up to last year. And so the day come that I did injure, never called nobody, never said nothing, just went on because it's happened many times before. And I've been able to go see a good chiropractor here that she does take patients and is very good and kept me able to be able to do my job and continue to do it throughout the last probably 4 or 5 years up till last year. Then I reached a point to where I could not do my job. Went to UPS and UPS decided they wouldn't, said it wasn't their problem, and the way all the circumstances fell, pretty much just said that it was something I had done outside of work and they had no responsibility to it. We then took the point to where I could not afford to lose a day of pay. I had to go in, I had to continue to work, I had to continue to do my job. That we were now a week with no pay, 2 weeks go by with no pay, still fighting, 3 weeks go by, 4 weeks go by, a whole month goes by, and we're not getting a check. And so hired an attorney, got all that stuff involved. But then it started to settle in that, hey, we're up against something. This is not going to be an overnight deal. This is not going to be something that's going to work itself out. And we're going to have to dig in and find out where our faith lies. And our faith that we had thought we had trusted in God in, when we got to really sitting down looking at it, our faith was in UPS. My faith was in that paycheck that I got every Friday. And so we were forced to face the fact that we really needed God. And we really needed to lay our faith out for God to help us. And so through the process, we went a month, 2 months, 3 months, you know, not even drawing a check. And I say all that by no means for no sympathy. But one, it's about a month. Maybe a little longer than a month. So we're going, okay, God, what's going on? What are we going to do? And walking through Walmart, Jackie and I, and Jackie gets a message. Hey, there's a lady we know through somebody who plays baseball, and calls and asks Jackie, or sends her a message to call her because she had a question about, or wanted to talk to her about a project. And so, long story short, she needed a photographer for the business she was doing, and wanted to know if Jackie would be interested in doing some photography work. So Jackie's like, well, sure. And so it wound up, it was a pretty good gig. She made a pretty good bit of money off of it. But, and then looking at that, God was laying that there, and it was taking care of us. And so we started to see, okay, so we're starting to, we don't understand, but we are starting to see God's going to provide for us. And we're going to stick through this, and we're going to make it. Well, then we continue on. It goes through months and months and months. And it's November before I even get to a doctor. And so, and numerous times, it was probably June of last year, I guess, bit the bullet, went, applied for food stamps. Well, I mean, it just, that's very hard for a guy that provides for his family. So, did that. So, we kept our faith. Church was wonderful. Numerous people here have been wonderful to us through the process. And so we get into it, and we really had no choice. We had no choice but to have faith. I mean, there's nothing we can do. I got to the point where there's nothing we can do. We have to rely on God. And so we go through, and there's numerous things that I can tell y'all that happened through this process that we know without a shadow of a doubt that God was there helping through this process. I will give you one instance, though, because sometimes we would get impatient. Maybe not sometimes. We got impatient a lot through the process. But we would get impatient, and we didn't see an answer for what we was needing. And so we would stress, and we would try to make something happen. And this one particular night, I think it was a Thursday night. I can't recall exactly what night it was. But we literally, there was no money in the bank account. We had no gas in our vehicles. And so Jackie had two rings that her mother had given her. And so she's like, well, you know, hey, I don't remember when she gave them. Maybe we can go pawn these rings and at least get some gas money. And so I'm like, well, that's what you want to do. So we did. Went and met with a guy, and he told us he'd give us $40 for these rings. So I was like, I don't know about that. You know, that just seems real cheap. And so went out and talked to her, and I was like, look, we don't have to do this. God's carried us this far. You know, He's going to provide. It was just very hard for us to be patient and wait. So we decided to keep them. So, we're going to keep them. We're going to go on. And had a friend of ours that their kids go to school with ours, and called Jackie and wanted to meet us up at the school that evening. And so we left there, went up to the school, and they had taken a collection from their church, and they gave us like 8 bags of groceries and like $60 in cash. And so that night, we said, you know what? Okay, we're in. We understand. We see. Still don't understand quite, but we see. You're going to take care of it. And so we had to lay it out there. And that's what we did. And so we went on through, got through the year, still waiting for UPS stuff to clear up. In December, we both kind of just sat and talked and said, look, we're tired. We're tired of waiting on UPS. We're tired of putting everything. We thought we were committed, but evidently we're not. And we decided, we made a pact in December, we're giving all to God. We're going to trust Him. We're not going to look back, and we're going to do whatever is laid in front of us. And we're going to just move on. He's carried us this far. He's going to carry us the rest of the way. And so come January, things started turning around. Things started looking up. And it seemed to be at the point where we finally just laid it at His feet, is when the burden seemed to be lifted. Even though we were still going through our struggles and still dealing with our stuff, it seemed to become a lot easier to deal with, because we all of a sudden had this trust that we never had before with God, and to just, we're going to do whatever lays aside. I say that, and I tell that story, because tonight, and I know some like titles, and I don't know, I thought about a title for this sermon, but, so the title of the sermon is Why Not Me? A lot of times we ask, why me? Why me? Why do I have to go through this? Why does my family have to suffer through this? Why me? Why me? Why me? And I want to ask the question, why not me? Just to be clear, there are three things that are guaranteed in life. We all know two, death and taxes. We're all going to die and we're all going to pay taxes. That's a given. But the third thing is trials. We're going to go through trials in our lives. James 1, and James is writing to the 12 tribes here, and he says in James 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. We all will have had, or currently are, having trials. I hope I can share something that can benefit someone here, or maybe someone else that we may help. Let's look at the three things that can help us to sustain the storms that we will deal with. First thing I want to look at is fear. Fear is emotional, emotion that we feel, but it's also medical. I mean, there's medical things going on inside fear. The stress that fear causes. There's chemical reactions in our body when we deal with fear. You hear the phrase fight or flight. I mean, that's real. Most people, when they deal with fear, they're either going to fight it or they're going to run from it. It could be the pit in our stomach, the nausea feeling, anxiety, heart rate increasing, or other side effects. But fear comes in all shapes and sizes. I remember I lived with my grandmother from kindergarten to third grade, and I had a fear that if I slept with any part of my body outside the covers besides the top part of my head, that something was going to happen to me. And if ever my leg was out uncovered or my arm was uncovered, man, I got that back under cover real quick. But the one thing that I fear, and I don't know why, I don't know where this fear come from, but because I did sleep with her. They has different sleeping arrangements, and it was in a very small house, so me and her shared a bed. And when she would get into bed, I would lay my leg across her leg just to make sure that was a comfort to me, that she was not going to get up and leave me. And when she'd come in and she'd wake me up in the morning, she's fully dressed in her uniform and hot breakfast cooked. She got up and I never even knew nothing about it. But yet, every night, knowing that she had got up the previous morning before I knew, there was something that calmed my fear of laying my leg across her leg there. It was a calmness to me. It was, a security blanket or whatever. We all deal with fear, whether it be fear as a child or the boogeyman, or fear as a student on a test, or fear of an adult of losing your job, a fear of rejection. We all deal with fear. What about the fear of unknown? When we learn that there's no boogeyman as we grow up, we no longer have a fear of that. When we learn what we need to learn on a particular test and we can recite it backwards and forward, we no longer have a fear to take that test. So when we have the fear, what helps that fear to go away is knowledge. And knowledge is the second point I want to look at tonight. Heard the saying, knowledge is power. The more that we know and understand a subject, the less fear that we have when dealing with it. I've had a fear of electricity. And I don't, it might have something to do with the fact when I was a child, I had an old radio, didn't have a plug, so I spliced the wires, turned it where I thought ZYP was at on the dial because it was a turn dial, and I had the volume about halfway, so I know that when it cut on, I had it plugged in and cut on, I took those two wires and I stuck it in a wall socket. That didn't work too well. And that might be where I got my fear of electricity, but I fear electricity. Even knowing I can shut a breaker off and I'm working on something, and I still have a fear of touching the wires there. Now, Stan don't have a fear of electricity. Stan knows electricity. Stan's been over to help me fix a minor problem to him. It was a major to me, but fixed a minor problem. And he's in there fidgeting with wires. And I'm like, you don't even know I got the box turned off or not. And he's in there. Because he knows it. He's got a knowledge of that electricity. So he doesn't have a fear like I have of it because I don't know enough about it. Proverbs 1:28-29. Well, Proverbs 1:28-29. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. And also Proverbs 20:15. Sorry. Proverbs 20:15. Of course, I had Proverbs 15:20 marked. That don't work. Proverbs 20:15 says, there is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Knowledge is power. The more we know, the less we fear. We've looked at fear and knowledge. After we have gained knowledge, then we can have trust. And trust is the third point I want to look at tonight. Wikipedia has a explanation of trust, and I want to read it straight from here. But it says, in a social content, in social context, trust has several connotations. Definition of trust typically refer to a situation characterized by the following aspects. One party, trustor, is willing to rely on the actions of another party, the trustee. The situation is directed to the future. In addition, the trustor voluntarily or forcefully abandons control over the actions performed by the trustee. As a consequence, the trustor is uncertain about the outcome of the other's actions. They can only develop and evaluate expectations. The uncertainty involves the risk of failure or harm to the trustor if the trustee will not behave as desired. To put that in a little more easier to understand, our children are trustors, and we are trustees as parents. Our children do not lie in bed at night and fret over where their meal is going to come tomorrow. Our children don't lie in bed at night and wonder if the light bill is going to get paid. That's up to the trustees to take care of. So they have transferred that fear, that worry, not knowing that they're transferring it, but they have transferred that worry over to the trustee, the parent. So they're not going to take and worry about that. That's not even a worry. That's not even a concern to them, because that's the parent's part. So we looked at fear, we looked at knowledge, and then we look at trust. How can all this help us in our daily lives? At first, we become a Christian out of fear of going to hell. The longer we are Christians, the longer we are Christians, we should gain the knowledge of our Lord. The more we learn from God and about God, the less fear we should have of hell and the more trust that we should have in God. We cannot wait until the storm to prepare. Just like we can't water our grass when a drought hits, we must be preparing for it every day. I was curious about watering grass and how that all plays out, and so I Googled it. You can Google anything. So I was bored one day and I looked it up. Grass needs 3 inches of water a week, did you know that? And it needs to be watered in the morning, not at night. It needs to have enough water in the soil so that the roots can grow deep. Grass roots will grow 2 to 3 foot deep. And so if you water it properly and you build that root system properly, when a drought comes, the grass stays green because its roots are deep in the soil and the soil is moist and it's got the water there. If you wait and you water your grass when you start getting a drought, you get your water, your grass gets the water, but your roots stay at the top, which makes them more susceptible to burning out and dying out because the roots ain't deep. They're not deep enough down in there to protect them from the drought. Same in our lives, same in our Christian walk. If we take and we wait for a trial to happen, a tribulation to happen, and we don't prepare for it, we're going to burn out because we don't have the roots, we don't have the system in place that's going to sustain us through whatever storm, whatever trial that we go through. So many times we get caught up in what we want or think we need. How many of us have wanted something so bad that we prayed constantly for it but didn't receive it? We may have also done many physical things to get that want as well, all of that to go through and still not have it. Then we think, maybe God's mad at me. Maybe God's punishing me. Maybe I ain't living right. Maybe I'm doing something wrong. Maybe it's me. Maybe, you know, there's some reason why I'm not been able to get this particular thing that I want. The story of Job is a great example of someone who did no wrong but still suffered here on earth. What about Jesus in the garden? Somebody, I can't remember who it was speaking one of the nights of the night or on a Wednesday night series. We talked about Jesus in the garden, about he didn't want to go on that cross. He didn't want to go to the cross. And talked about, you know, it's been said, you know, about the sweat like teardrops or like drops of blood, how fervently he prayed in the garden. Just very sincere prayer. And then I think, and I've never wanted anything that bad. I thought I did. But then when you start to compare our wants with what Jesus' wants were, don't even have comparison to that. But yet Jesus didn't get what he wanted either. And so why do I feel like I'm better than Jesus or I'm better than Job? But we don't go through that process when we're wanting something or we think we need something. We don't do that because we get caught up on me. It's about me. It's what I want. I deserve this. I've worked hard for this. Instead of holding back and what's God want for me? How does God want it? God bragged on Job. We know that. And some might say, you know, maybe God bragged on Job, caused Job to go through all that. Hope God don't brag on me, right? You know, don't want to go down that road. And we know God was proud of Jesus. He said, you know, he talked about it. Son of mine, proud of. So they didn't get it easy. And so we have to know that God's proud of us. And we're not guaranteed it easy either. But it ain't about us. Because it's a bigger picture. God's bigger than us. And it's hard for us to see because, especially now, man, we got everything at our fingertips. Technology, man, we got instant access to everything. Instant gratification. We can go out and get a credit card. We can get a loan. We can have anything we want today if we want it. And we go out and just sign a note and take it. And then we come to our spiritual life and we don't get it right away. And then we maybe pout pitch a fit, or we might go the other way and think, well, maybe I've done something wrong. And what we've got to do is we've got to back up and realize or ask ourselves, what's God's will? And what is it that I really need? And trust that God's doing everything that's supposed to be done in the right way. So no matter what we go through, hey, it's God's will. And he's going to see through it. I mean, he took care of Job, took care of Jesus, took care of numerous other people. Not at the time they was going through it. But we see the end results of those situations and many other situations as well. And so when we look at the things that were going on in our lives and things that we're dealing with in our lives, we need to understand we're going through the process. The results will come later. And we might not even ever see results. We might die before it happens. But if we live a faithful life and we live a life to God and we dedicate our life to God and we put our trust in God, then the eternity is where we get our gain. It might not be on earth. We might not get our reward on earth. But we get the reward that matters, and that's that big reward of eternal life with him. So what makes us better than them? My favorite outfit got a tear in it. My computer crashed. My car got a dent in it. My boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever broke up with me. I lost my job. My home got foreclosed on. I've been diagnosed with cancer. When we trust God, when we draw close to God, he in turn draws close to us. The more we nurture that relationship with God, the more we will be able to face and overcome the troubles and trials that we deal with in our lives. The Israelites came to the Red Sea and they thought, this is it. All the things God's done for them. Fed them, sheltered them, took care of them. And they get to the Red Sea and still doubted. And we look at that and we read that and we go, how in the world could they be so blind to it? But how many of us are the same way? How many of us have come to our Red Sea? And that's all we see is the sea here and the army behind us, and we don't see a way out. How many of us have hit that point in our life? And we can't see beyond the Red Sea and what's on the other side where God can carry us. How many of us have come to that part in our lives? Just like the Israelites, we tend to thank God has led us to a dead end. And just like the Israelites, we fail to see what lies on the other side. God is bigger than us. His will is bigger than ours. Galatians 4:4 states that at the fullness of time, well, I'm not good. Let me read that. Sorry. I'm not going to quote that and butcher that all up. Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman and born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Jesus was born and paid the ultimate price for us. It's time that we gain the knowledge that we need to overcome our fear so that we can trust that no matter what we face, God is there. Faith grows best when faith is under stress. We're all going to do it. We're all going to go through it. We're all going to have our troubles. We're all going to have our trials. We're all going to have our tribulations. But we have to trust without a shadow of a doubt God's there and going to carry us through. It might not be what we want. It might not be the road that we want to go down. But we have to trust that God knows best because he does. And we have to accept that and be willing to whatever he lays inside or lays in front of us, that's the way we go. If we had everything we wanted, if we had everything we need, then why would we need faith? Why would we need faith? We don't need faith then, because we've got everything we want, we've got everything we need. That's the problem sometimes with people who, you know, are very rich. They don't need faith. They can buy anything they want. And so consider it, as James says, it's a blessing to go through trials and tribulations. And I want to close with reading the rest of that, couple rest of the verses there. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Nor let not the man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded, unstable in all his ways. So, trials and tribulations are coming. We might be in them. We might have just went through them. But there'll be more. And consider it a blessing. We've got some friends of ours who, their daughter goes, she's went through cancer. And her mother, Jackie and her mother was talking the other day, and the mother's faith was not very strong. And then their daughter got diagnosed with cancer. And she told Jackie that her daughter being diagnosed with cancer is the biggest blessing in their life. How's that? A lot of people don't see it that way. But it caused them to search. It caused them to draw close to God. And they're a very strong, faithful family now because of that. Her daughter's in remission. Her daughter's playing volleyball. And so if we had everything we wanted, we wouldn't have to have faith. And I just don't honestly believe that's what God wants for us. He wants us to want him. He wants us to need him. And therefore, where our faith comes in is that we have to rely on him no matter what we go through. I know this lesson is not being one about becoming a Christian. But if you're going through things in your life and you're having trouble seeing the other side, we're glad to take and pray with you, pray for you.